Hello, I'm Badis, and welcome to the Implement Podcast. This is a podcast where we have great conversations about marketing, growing brands, and what it takes to be a great marketer. If you're interested in keeping up with the podcast episodes and the amazing content we produce at Implement, you should definitely subscribe to our newsletter. Just go to join-implement.com to subscribe. All right, enough self-promo, let's dive into this new episode, and thanks again for tuning in. Today, my guest is Nicolo Zapponi, who is a senior manager at Salesforce Anywhere Labs. Nicolo, thank you for joining me today. It's really a pleasure to talk to you. Maybe before we start, can you tell us a bit more about yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Badis, and thanks for having me here on the Implement Podcast. I am a senior manager at Salesforce. I work on our product team building one of our products called Salesforce Anywhere, which is actually focused on employee productivity and collaboration. But over the years, I've taken on a number of different roles, starting with our marketing specific products, especially for B2C marketing. A lot of interesting conversations I've had there with a lot of marketers all over Europe, as well as I do a lot of fun work outside of my life at Salesforce, helping businesses or friends and colleagues like implement some of their marketing campaigns or digital transformation more broadly. So more than excited to talk about it and have a chat about it.
Awesome. It's so Salesforce is obviously a company that is deeply involved with marketing and marketers in general for many, many years. It's one of the top marketing tech companies out there. If not the top, I think it's probably the biggest one, if you don't count Google, maybe, I don't know. But anyways, it's really exciting to talk to you. And I wanted to maybe deep dive a bit more into your experience working with marketers and the type of product you sold back then. And could you maybe tell us a bit more about that that period of your career?
Yeah, definitely. So for about 2.5 years in my career at Salesforce, I've been doing what we call solution consulting, which is basically helping businesses out there understand if our solutions at Salesforce would be the right solutions for them based on their targets and business objectives. And for those 2.5 years, I focused on the Salesforce Marketing Cloud, which is obviously our marketing suite, which comes from the acquisition of products that were out there on the market, like ExactTarget, BuddyMedia, et cetera. And thanks to that, I've come across some of the largest retail brands in Europe, as well as some very small niche retailers, and see how they all have to solve relatively similar problems with very different budgets and very different capabilities, let's say. And it's very interesting how marketing technology has, and digital marketing more broadly, has made it much easier to get to understand your customers, but also it's created its own challenges of how do we manage all of this data? How do we make use of it? And also what is the right way to do it, right? There is so many opportunities out there now with digital marketing and marketing technologies of running campaigns that were just not possible 10 years ago. And I think the big question that a lot of marketers are asking themselves is, what should I be doing? What is right? And what is most impactful, but also what is the right thing for my customers, which doesn't always align.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I think it's a great insight. With great power comes a great responsibility. And so yeah. It's like we have all this power now, but what to do with it is a whole nother question. And so you worked with retailers. So I imagine they were both like online and offline operators, right?
Yes. Yeah. Most of them have been, brands that, for example, fashion retail brands that, have been on the market for decades and were either shifting online or trying to improve their omni-channel experience. So not just marketing, but, sales, service, and marketing together. Trying to find the right technical solution to solve for it. But also I think when it comes to digital transformation, it's not just about the tools, right? It's also about how do you change as a business to make that customer experience shift happen. So yeah, those retailers, most of them have had some sort of brick and mortar or, you know, physical store presence. And I think for them, the big question that they were asking us is how can we help solve the problem of an experience that is very fragmented today, because there's different experiences, whether you do a purchase in store, whether you do it online, what happens when you have a problem, the after sales experience. It all needs to feel very well connected, and it's very difficult to achieve that.
Yeah, I feel like it's really like the current challenge, absolutely, kind of building that that unique and smooth experience from, you know, whether you're coming from the store, physical, like brick and mortar store or online, or kind of centralizing all that data. And so, you know, what are the kind of the solutions you guys designed for them? Like, do you have an example maybe you could share with us, or sort of products you built for one of these companies?
Yeah, definitely. There's a few examples. I'm not gonna name brands specifically, but you know, one example was how do we deal with the after sales experience successfully, right? And by after sales, I mean, for example, you know, fashion retailers often give you the ability to do repairs on a product, or replacements, or alterations, like for example, personalization of the product after you purchase it. And often the systems that you use inside of your store are either completely, you know, old school, as in paper, or completely disconnected from everything else that the business knows. So part of it is, how do we get those systems connected? And for example, we've seen the introduction of point of sale applications, applications for, you know, on iPads that you can have in store, the connection of your ERP that you use to manage your store stocks with what is online. But more broadly, I think, again, for me, it's always important to think not just about the technology layer, but also the people layer, right? The digital transformation. And often that's what is missed out the most. It's not just about putting an iPad in place in the store, right? If nobody's going to use it, if the data that you put in is bad, you're going to get garbage out of it. So a lot of the work in terms of, you know, helping these businesses make their next step in their digital customer experience has been, how do you make it so that the employee in the store associate, is actually compensated in a way, or sees the benefit of using a new tool or technology? And that's really difficult, especially in fashion retail, because often what I found that really surprised me was that the store associate owns the relationship with the client, with the customer, right? And they would be very jealous of that relationship, because it's what gives them what makes them successful in that store. So for them, actually taking the information of what they know of the customer, their preferences, their sizes, their past purchase history, is almost like giving up what's unique about them, which is a risk for the company, because obviously if the brand loses the store associate, they might lose the customer. So they want the associate to input the information in the system, but the store associate doesn't necessarily want to do that, because it's a risk for them. So it's for the brand into each store. And a lot of it comes down to, for example, yeah, incentivization programs, giving tools that actually do make their life easier. An example is, you know, that we have a family owned business that does retail in Italy that I've been helping with digital transformation. And we've just added point of sale tablets in the stores so that the stocks are up to date online and in store all the time. And a lot of the ways that we can push to always put the right information in has been to allow the store associates to be able to always know what is the right size of a particular item that I should be proposing to a specific customer based on their past experience, but finding it in a very easy way rather than, you know, making it almost like a machine-like process where you're going to ask for the name and, you know, going back. It needs to be very, very simple, and it needs to be beneficial, not just for the brand, but also for everyone in the chain, like the store associates. I think that's the one thing that I've learned is when the most successful projects and the most successful outcomes also for, you know, marketing campaigns overall is where you see really good collaboration internally within the company, that it's not just marketing, it's operations, it's sales, it's service. When everyone works together and the goals are shared and the deadlines are the same and people communicate, you see some incredible results in terms of customer experience and as a result, obviously, also in terms of conversions and revenue. When you only have one department trying to do one thing, the outcomes are really just going to be limited. And I've seen countless examples of, you know, purchasing technology for the sake of purchasing technology, thinking it solves the issue, and you're back to square one.
Yeah, I love this because I feel like the, you know, the problem is definitely not the technology anymore, because it's widely accessible. There are great companies like Salesforce that make it available and are here to implement it in companies that sometimes are very low tech, like, and they start from zero almost. And I think retail is a good example of an industry that you know, has a lot to catch up on. But the problem is definitely not the technology in itself, but rather the usage of it and the adoption of it. It's really, really interesting when you talk about employees kind of seeing this as a threat and sort of not seeing the value, and they'd rather have their, you know, the old ways and then protect sort of their expertise than just give in to technology and sort of abandon what they think is the value they add to the business. I think it's when you look at the new marketing technology companies that are coming up, you know, there's this blog called Chief Martech. I don't know if you heard about it, he basically makes a database of all the marketing technology companies out there every year, and it's crazy how this space is actually, for the first time in a while, stabilizing. So it's like kind of reaching the top of the bell curve. So it's been like growing almost like exponentially for a while now, for the past 10 years. And now it's like, it's sort of flattening at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like the big challenge now, and it's gonna be, you know, a great opportunity for companies like Salesforce, is sort of, okay, we have all these new technologies now, we're kind of at the end of what we can innovate and bring to the table, because, you know, cloud is here. There's so many tools for like every sort of inch of the market. But now the issue is with implementation. And I see this with our training activities at Implement. We do train marketers, and they know there's tech out there. They know how to get it, but using it properly and taking advantage of it and really sort of aligning that with the real operations happening in the company is just such another story that it takes years to get there. So yeah, it's an interesting story you told us right there.
Yeah, definitely, and that's true. Absolutely. And I think where there's the differential between different marketing technologies out there, and as you say, there's so many tools out there, and there's been an exponential growth of how many tools you could possibly think of and buy out there in terms of MarTech. I think the differentiating factor is, one, how you use them and what they let you do. But, you know, what they let you do is relatively similar these days. 10 years ago, running email marketing at scale was difficult. And there were a few vendors out there that provided it. Now it's a commodity, right? Like, everyone provides it. It's dead cheap and it works. The real differentiator between the platforms, I think, is, one, how do they actually work together in the stack of your business. And that's where, for example, Salesforce focuses on, right? It's really about how do we help businesses connect sales, service, marketing, and everything else they do around the customer at once so that the business has a unique view of the customer. And also then how do you use that information? Because the fact that you can integrate it doesn't necessarily mean that you end up actually doing it. An example is, you know, I've worked a while with Shopify, which is a great solution for small and medium businesses that want to start e-commerce, right? And on paper, they integrate with the medium vendors, which is amazing. But when you actually start looking at it, every integration has an extra additional cost, and it's got its own limitations because it's been implemented potentially for one specific use case rather than a broad set. So I think the difference between going with point solutions that are excellent in their individual space versus a, you know, holistic solution like Salesforce can be, is what you can do across is probably relatively similar if you've got the right skill set internally to use, you know, to have developers that integrate things as you want them to. But as a business, if you want speed and you want things to just work, then a larger vendor like Salesforce can help. Now, then taking that and making it a reality in terms of how do marketers use that, it's a whole other business, right?
Yeah.
How many times have I heard the question, does Salesforce Marketing Cloud integrate with Google Analytics, right? And back then we weren't integrating with Google Analytics. And often my answer is like, what do you want to do with it? You know, because there's always ways that you can integrate things. Whether it's, you know, a one click or a 10 click process, you can do it, but what is the purpose? What's the goal? Oh, I don't know. It's just that, you know, maybe my e-commerce team wanted to see how many people came from email. Okay, but you know, how does that align with your business objective? I think the key question is when you try and connect sales, service, marketing to rightly provide the best customer experience and differentiate your brand against your competitors, you really need to think about what is the user journey and do a lot of research into how do your customers end up using your services, using your brand, and as a result, build your technology around it. An example, again, with this family shop of ours, what we've noticed is, you know, it's a very small shop, two boutiques, and we started from zero in terms of online e-commerce 12 months ago. And obviously with COVID, it's become a priority. What we found is if you look at the dashboards that Shopify provides you, we've implemented Shopify, you see some terrible numbers because there's been, you know, maybe a couple of sales per month online. And now that we've got the iPads in store, we can keep track of cash flow and everything, which is great. But still, in terms of performance of click-throughs and everything, it's pretty bad. But when you ask the store managers what they feel about it, the answer is, oh, actually, I have half of the people that come into store today come with a phone in their hand and tell me, do you have this? Showing me our own website and asking for a specific product. So in reality, it's saving me time serving customers in store. So we're happy with the e-commerce performance so far, even though the regular dashboards and things don't show it. And again, to me, that goes back to what is your goal as a business? And then from that, how do you build the tech stack that you need to measure it and reach your goals? It's not about, hey, I've got Shopify, how do I make the most of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. And yeah, it's about being customer centric and in the, you know, and try to just not spend that much into building operations that don't make sense in the first place. I mean, it's something that, it's definitely something really important. And, you know, it makes me think of a topic I wanted to address with you, which is sort of the frontiers, because we talked about sort of the marketing technology curve, you know, flattening, and sort of we're reaching a sort of plateau there. And in terms of frontiers, I think you know, there are definitely frontiers in the on the human side of things. So training, adoption, literacy. It's crazy how many marketers still don't know how to use very simple tools and still need a lot of training to use them. So I think that's a huge frontier for the MarTech yeah. sector in general. Maybe there's integration as well as a frontier, meaning that you talked about integration earlier, and you know, I think it's a whole area of building these ecosystems of tools that kind of work together and make sure that they work together well. But I wanted your opinion on what you think are maybe some other frontiers, other things that maybe you guys are, you know, doing and thinking about at Salesforce regarding MarTech. Like, what are the next few things? Like, you know, there's AI, but AI, maybe it's going to improve just the performance of products that already exist. I don't know. Maybe there's augmented reality that could bring something new to the table for retailers or something like that. So what's your take on like frontiers and tech frontiers in the marketing sector?
Yeah, I think where the big trend that we've all seen on the market is the emergence of this huge amount of data, right? And finding solutions to solve and use that data to the best of its abilities. We've seen a trend of, you know, data management platforms a few years ago, DMPs, moving into what today is CDPs, customer data platforms. And we at Salesforce have got, you know, customer 360 audiences as an example. And really, but as a broader trend, the goal, the aim of what marketers are trying to solve for is, how do I better understand my customer with all the data I've got at my disposal, right? And there's so much data out there these days. It's almost too much, because you've got your first party data, right? Your business, what do they know about the client based on what they've done? You know, a specific purchase, a specific question they've asked, a customer service history that they may have, an in-store visit, for example. That's all first party data, and we've always had access to that through CRM. But then there's also all the touch points that led to someone getting on your website, which is all data that just never existed before, right? And sometimes it's a little creepy. Sometimes it helps provide incredible experiences. But really, I think the trend that I'm seeing is, how do we, you know, it's how can we make the best use of this huge amount of data with customer data platforms? And the other, through AI, I'm still a little bit skeptical on artificial intelligence. I think artificial intelligence is the future of a successful digital marketing campaign. I have no doubts about it. The problem is what AI is great at doing is at identifying trends that our naked eye cannot see, right? It's being able to ingest incredible amounts of information and find trends or classifications that we wouldn't normally do just because of how our brain works. Now, the problem is, because we still don't know what data is important out there, AI, if we give AI everything, it's not going to be able to give us out much. We need to be able to learn as marketers to give artificial intelligence the right data points for it to make interesting decisions. And I've seen it with send time optimization as an example of, you know, an application of digital marketing. I've seen some epic fails online of articles, you know, talking about send time optimization failing miserably. But at the end of the day, bad decisions done by AI are down to bad data provided to the AI. So I think there's still a lot of work to be done in the space of, aside from artificial intelligence today, it's really, to me, in the space of what is the right data that I should be using about my customer that is valuable enough for me as a business, for me to retain and use and process for artificial intelligence and whatever else, segmentation, and that it's not an invasion of privacy in a way, but that is not too much, because I really think the big problem today is that we have too much information, and marketers are being asked, unfortunately, to become data experts. And going back to what you were saying, you know, training becomes a big problem because it's all skill sets that marketers were not being asked to do 10 years ago. So there's a big shift into what marketing is and what digital marketing is, especially because of this new intake of data that is just overwhelming.
I love the way you explain all this because it's clearly something we noticed in our work at Implement, and how there's a lot of hunger for data literacy and data management. And I've talked a lot with marketing directors that cannot today justify any major expense without going through the data science department and sort of working through data with them and having something to back up their claim there. And it's something they're still learning to do. And I think you're right on point. I think you're 100% right on this. And about AI, frankly, I have absolutely no idea of about this topic. I'm way too ignorant on the topic. But yeah, I guess it's the way I see it is that it's definitely going to be something that will probably just supercharge whatever tool you already have, whatever analysis you're already making, but maybe point you in the right direction and maybe help you scale some productivity there and get better insights. But other than that, I'm not seeing this as sort of a major disruptor or a major frontier for marketing. I'm just seeing this as sort of a, better productivity, more,
Yeah, I think where AI can be very successful, and it has been, is on the e-commerce side. I think that's a really good and it's a very good environment, also data-wise, for artificial intelligence to be successful. For example, suggested products based on your search history. People who bought this also bought that. That's very useful because it's very direct, and the data points that you provide to the algorithm are very specific. And as a result, it's capable of actually giving you good insights that a customer could say, oh, actually, this could be interesting for me to buy. And that's proven to be incredibly successful as an outcome for artificial intelligence. When it comes to digital marketing, and I'm thinking more of the communication and messaging side of things, I think that the gap where it becomes harder is that if you want to make artificial intelligence successful, there's a few areas where you can do it, right? You can optimize when you send a message, when you send some content, so when somebody sees it. You can optimize what somebody sees, which is, what content should I propose? And even then, it's hard because as a marketer, you now have to think about, the one-to-one marketing is the holy grail of digital marketing, but it's also really difficult because you need content to feed that one-to-one marketing campaign. So do I believe that, artificial intelligence is going to help with an email campaign where I'm going to show one section of an email instead of another one to a customer based on past history? I don't think that's incredibly valuable. But when I get to the website, having the main product that I've been interested in or that AI believes I will be most interested in as the front head, hero image of my website, now that's going to make much more of an impact. So I think there's areas where AI can be incredibly powerful. On the messaging side, I think it's still too difficult. And until we have, AI-powered content, which I don't believe we're there yet, that's going to be the next frontier, probably.
Interesting. Very interesting. Thanks for all your insights. And, maybe to sort of wrap up the episode, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing currently. What are you working on? And
Sure, yeah. My day job, which is the past 2.5 years, is on Salesforce Anywhere, which is a completely different part of Salesforce, not focusing on marketing at all, actually. Salesforce Anywhere is it's a rebrand of a product that we acquired a few years ago called Quip, and it's a productivity suite. It's actually a really interesting, the way I got into it is because being a product we recently acquired a few years back, it's basically almost like a canvas, a document where you can put in information that is all that is of different types, right? It's not just text or just a table, but you can actually have a single document where you can work live with people with different types of content together. And the first thing I've done before joining actually the Quip team was integrating it with Salesforce Marketing Cloud so that marketers can now have a document, which is their marketing campaign plan, for instance. And on the marketing campaign plan document, they can see previews of content that they're about to send out, performance of what they sent. All that is kept in real time. It's not screenshots. And really, that's what I'm working on right now is on Salesforce Anywhere, how do we improve the experience of people that are not necessarily like looking for a tool for internal productivity, but how do people that use CRM, people that use digital marketing, how do they better work together internally as a business in a more cohesive way and have the right information for them to make the right decisions? That's another gap I see in businesses is, you know, we've got, for example, our Sales Cloud users at Salesforce, they all know how to use CRM for their sales information. Marketers hardly ever have access to that. Internally, it creates silos, right? And a tool like Quip, or sorry, like Salesforce Anywhere, or like many others out there for sure, can definitely help bridge that gap by connecting systems in a more, let's say, informal way, not necessarily in a techie IT way, but connect information so that the right people in the business got the right access to the right information for them to make decisions. And that's really what I'm very interested in working on, is boosting internal productivity of a business by helping cross-functional collaboration internally through technology. Again, technology is not always the only part of the problem. It's a piece of the puzzle. A lot of it is culture, is business change, is digital transformation more broadly. But this is definitely an important piece that can help accelerate that change that businesses are going through.
Yeah, I can definitely see the use cases for more collaboration there. And actually, I've interviewed a startup recently called Cord.com, and Nimrod, their CEO, was on the podcast, and he built this tool specifically like for this same issue of silos and building sort of a more of a you know, a horizontal experience for everyone on the product team, the marketing team, the sales team, etc. So yeah, I think it's from what I understood, like their product is like you know, they're basically taking Slack and putting Slack everywhere. So maybe you should check it out. You know, it's really interesting what they're doing. They're still like very early, but they're you know, they've raised a little bit of money and they're really on the right track. So
yeah, definitely take a look.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, this one of collaboration, and I think it's a big topic for marketers for sure. And obviously your tool is going to apply to many different departments in the business, but yeah, it's a brilliant topic. And you know, how did you sort of start in this this area of technology? And just talking about you, like you know, before all this, like what were you doing, and how did you end up here?
Yeah, no, definitely. Finish the previous topic really quickly. I think the big issue that businesses need to address is, who owns this problem of internal collaboration, right? Nobody really owns it today, which makes it really difficult to solve, because marketers are not going to pay for something that helps other parts of the business and not them. So I think it needs to be, you know, a systemic investment and a systemic problem that needs to be solved. As of about me, I got into technology, I mean, from university and everything. I studied aerospace engineering, and then I worked in aerospace for some time, did not enjoy it as much as I thought. So I ended up looking for other avenues, and a passion of mine has always been technology. So Salesforce has definitely been a very interesting place for me to start my technology professional experience, because of just the breadth of different products that there are in our portfolio. And obviously being at the leading edge of technology, it's been incredibly fascinating to get to see how very different businesses globally use software to achieve incredible business results. So yeah, that's how I got into it. I've navigated different areas of software as a service. So, you know, starting from digital marketing and solution selling to moving into internal productivity at businesses, again, from a sales standpoint, and now more from a product development standpoint. I'm really interested in seeing how the two work together, actually, and how can we help companies out there really be more successful in delivering great customer experiences. That's really the holy grail, is how can businesses improve how they serve their customers? And it really, what powers me is the frustration of having a bad customer experience sometimes with clients out, with, you know, brands out there in my day-to-day life. And it just makes me think there has to be a better way. And when I actually have a very positive experience, I'm also really excited to explore how that happened, right? So often when I have a really good customer experience in my life, I tend to go back and take a look at what is the technology that powered that. And I do some, you know, research of mine, or how did this business manage to serve me so well? Because it's also unusual to experience that. Eurostar is a great example. I've taken the train to Paris once, it was delayed, and they refunded me of the delay literally an hour after getting off the train without even having to ask for it. I was just so amazed at that experience that you're just not used to. And those are the little things that make, I think, a brand stand out. And it's what drives me in my career, both through marketing and productivity now. How can we help businesses do that more and more?
Yeah, it's a great goal, and I think it's much needed out there. So it's funny when you said that that you notice excellent you know, customer experiences when they happen, because they are, it's rare enough, and sometimes it does happen, and you have to recognize that as well. It's not just bad experiences out there, but yeah, there are two extremes, and sometimes it can be very good as well. And I love the Eurostar example because it's definitely those little things that matter. And you know, you talked just about the sort of the ownership of the collaboration topic before, and I think the ownership of that customer experience is definitely something that is that's sort of traditionally revolved around marketers, and but it's not the case anymore. And you need tools that sort of, you know, bring everyone together and just improving that experience. And I think you're doing great work, and I wish you a lot of success.
Thank you very much, Badis. It was a pleasure to be on the podcast today.
Absolutely.
Very, I look forward to listening a lot more of your guests coming up on Implement going forward.
Thanks, Nicolo. Maybe before we wrap this up, could you tell us where we could connect with you online if someone is listening and has a question, or just want to, you know, follow you online?
Of course, yeah. You'll find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @Enzaponi, or on LinkedIn as well. Those are the two main places.
Awesome. Thank you so much again for taking the time, Nicolo. It was great.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Badis.